Well, good morning. Last week, what were we thinking about last week? Or who were we thinking about last week? Can you remember? Somebody, it was a head teacher, Grace. Lancashire is what you're looking for. Mr. Ward will prompt you on that if you don't get that one. Yes, from Lancashire. Who had done what? Go on, Grace. Yeah. So she said evolution is not a fact. She was countering another head teacher who was saying, oh, done an assembly and spoken about evolution, how wonderful. And of course, a storm absolutely broke. How did that psalm begin this morning, as we so happen to read it? Fits in rather well with what we had last week. What does the fool say in his heart? Go on, James. There is no God. There is no God. And this last week, they're out in space. Don't ask me how to explain these things, but black holes and waves and gravity, etc., etc. And people are thinking, oh, is this going to tell us how the world began? Is it getting us nearer to the Big Bang? And the answer is no. It just shows the wonders of this universe and its mysteries there, because God is a great God. So anyway, I was in London yesterday. And as I came back from London, I went into, and with we advertise it, Marks and Spencer's, there we are. And lots of red roses everywhere. Why? Why? Lots of red roses, James. Valentine's Day, isn't it? That's the fact there. So lots of red roses. I bought some myself, but there we are. So lots of red roses, various flowers and plants and things. Love. People thinking about love. Well, I don't know what their understanding of love is, or at its best, what human love brings. It's good, but it still doesn't get near to the greatest love that this world has ever seen. What was that? What's the greatest love that's ever been witnessed on this earth? What do you think, Grace? It was, wasn't it? God so loving the world, sending his own son to us. That is love. This is love for the unlovable. Oh, it's easy to love somebody that has got things you see in them. Oh, I love that. And you respond to that. That's great. But God, seeing us, sees nothing. Nothing in us that's worth loving. Nothing desirable. No great moral qualities or character. We are, in fact, the complete opposite. We repel him in that regard. But God still decides, no, I will love these people. I'm going to do them the best that I can, which is to bring them to know me and to have me as their heavenly Father and to find the joy and comfort of forgiveness and eternal life. That is love indeed. Now, people may be professing, I don't know what they're doing today, but undying love for each other. Well, that's good. That's good if they do. But God's love for us is an undying love, never ends. He sent his son to die on the cross, and when he saves his people, he saves them indeed. If you've come to Christ, you are saved indeed. You are in such a secure and good place, because his love will never change. Never change his mind, never say, no, don't love you after all. He'll remain constant in his love for anybody who comes to him. Unending love. I guess some of those people today who may be saying, oh, I love you there. Well, in a few years' time when we come back, we may find, no, it didn't last. It didn't last. Because God's love for us is, if you like, when people get married together and they're saying to each other there that they'll love each other, richer for poorer, sickness and in health, all circumstances of life. Well, the wonderful thing is that God's love for us, his pledge and his commitment to us, his willingness to help us and change us and make us holy all the time. When we're sick, and some of us have been in various conditions and some of us still have various conditions, well, God loves us in those times there. And he's doing things in our lives there. And it was good yesterday at Ridley Hall in Battersea at their day of prayer to talk about grace in affliction. when we have various infirmities and griefs and needs and afflictions, there is still grace, God's willingness to love people even though they don't deserve it. So he loves us when we're not well, and he loves us when we are well. He loves us when things perhaps financially aren't working out quite so well. He loves us then, richer for poorer. Well, he's pledged himself to us. Anyway, he knew everything beforehand. When he brought us to himself, he didn't think, well, I wonder how they'll be in 5 or 6, 10 years' time or so, what they'll be doing then. He knew exactly what we would be doing. And he knew that we would at times disappoint him, and there'd be times when we'd have hardships, but he was pledged to us and committed to us. His love is an undying and unchanging love. And I'm so glad to be able to tell you that this morning. I'd have no good news. I don't know how in some churches people stand there and try to say there's good news, and then they don't tell you about Christ and his love for sinners, because that is the greatest love. And once you have known him, found him, then you have found the one who will hold you through thick and thin, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till your dying day, and then take you safe into the glorious land, promised land, heaven itself. And what a place that will be to be there. So may God bless us. May we find that love true for ourselves. May we come to Christ if we haven't already done that. And if we have, then may we keep walking in him and serving him to our utmost. So we're going to sing our next hymn now, 113. To God be the glory, 113.